200 years after the start of his first revolutionary campaign, Simón Bolívar is revered throughout Latin America as the great liberator who freed six countries from Spanish rule. Brilliant, dashing, and intense, Bolívar was a fearless warrior, ingenious strategist, visionary statesman, canny politician, master diplomat, impassioned abolitionist, and talented writer, and his personal life was as tumultuous as his public one. Yet Bolívar remains relatively little known in North America, in part because there has been no major popular biography of him in decades. That is where Marie Arana comes in. She is the author of the new book, Bolívar, American Liberator. The new book is a major biography published by Simon & Schuster, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Marie Arana to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to be with you, Joe. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being here and for providing your knowledge on this very interesting subject. What drew you to Bolívar in the first place?
Well, you know, this has been kind of a lifelong project of explaining Latin America and Latin American people and what makes the region work and the people tick. And I've done it in a memoir, I've done it in novels, I've done it in any number of ways, reporting, columns, whatnot. But when I sat down to think what one person could actually tell the tale of not only of history but of the personality of the Latin American people, there was only one person that I thought could do it for that sort of range of countries. He liberated six countries, so his story sweeps right across the northern part of South America and down all the way to Bolivia. So and he, you know, he was larger than life. People raised their sons to be like Bolívar, and you know, you're taught to think that, you know, that is the adventuresome sort of glamorous soul of the Latin personality is found in Bolívar. So that's why I chose him. There were personal reasons as well. I have two ancestors who fought in the Battle of Ayacucho, which was the determining battle of liberating Peru, which was the final stronghold of colonial power. And when he liberated Peru at the Battle of Ayacucho, then you know, the rest of Spain simply left the continent. So, and my ancestors, I had two, one fought on the Spanish side and one fought on the rebel side. So, you know, here they were trying to kill each other. And in the end, the Spanish one did die, but the rebel one went on to marry the Spanish general's daughter. And those are my ancestors. So I always grew up with that story, which to me sounded so, you know, full of life and full of drama.
You really do make the case of, much like our founders, the American founders, that Bolívar is that quintessential South American.
Yes. Yes, I do think he is. And for better or worse, because there are people who, you know, because he was such a dramatic life and because he left you know, when he died at the young age of 47, the place was a mess. The place never really fulfilled the dream that he had for it, which was to unify completely and be a real power in the world. But his vision and his sort of prophecy for the region was quite compelling and very much fundamental, as was George Washington's in this country or the Adamses. Bolívar spoke to something very, very basic about the values and the principles of the Latin American free nations.
Why do you think that he's not better known in this country? Why do you think that we in the United States have been slow to learn about Latin American history, if you agree with that premise?
I do. I think it's changing. I think it in this time, these particular years, when we are becoming so aware of our Hispanic population and of the importance of neighbors. I think, you know, for so long, I think of Jim Reston, James Reston, who was the great editor of the New York Times and a great journalist in general. And he said, you know, Americans, North Americans, are willing to do anything for South America except read about it. And there was this kind of reticence, you know, like, we don't, it's not important down there. It's so fragmented. And I think, you know, Kissinger also held that view that, you know, the important things were happening elsewhere. Well, now, you know, it's so in our face because Hispanics are here. They're very soon going to make a third of the population. It's a very strong component of who we are as Americans of the United States of America. And so I think there is now suddenly an opening, a chance to look and say, well, how are these people different from us? How is the mentality different, the history different? Of course, history is what makes the mentality of a people. And so I think there is suddenly perhaps a curiosity about Latin American history and what actually framed the personality of Latin American people.
As the subtitle of the book is American Liberator, as you mentioned, he freed six countries: Venezuela, Colombia, Panama, Ecuador, Bolivia, and Peru. Certainly, that has to go in writing this book, and certainly in reading it. I mean, this is the biggest accomplishment, isn't it?
Yes, yes, of course. I mean, he rode 75,000 miles on horseback to do it. His soldiers called him Iron Ass. That was, you know, that's how they referred to him, because the tenacity when you think about it, not riding just through, rocky plains, but through over the Andes and through the jungle and through plains that flooded up to their waists. I mean, this was a dramatic achievement on Bolivar's part. So the story is a very strong one. His vision, as I mentioned before, to unify everything, all the countries, and unify all the people, was visionary. But, you know, the little groups around the region became such fiefdoms that they fought to keep their own small power rather than do the important thing, as the United States of America did, which to unite all colonies and to be a stronger power. Bolivar was he referred to it as his America, and it was America every bit as much as the America on the northern side. My grandfather, I mean, if he were alive today, I'm sure he would say, because he always used to complain about this, you know, in the United States of America, they stole the name America. We were Americans first, he would always say. And, you know, it was like the giant identity theft that had happened, you know, South Americans do consider themselves Americans. They are Americans to the core. They have always thought of themselves as Americans.
Speaking of giants, Bolivar was not one of them. He was a very small man, very slight, and yet you write in the book of what he was able to do with that personality and the magnetism that he had when he spoke.
Yes, he was quite a charismatic person. He was 5'6", 5'7" at most. He weighed 130 pounds. He was very slight. They say his hands and feet were described as delicate as a woman's, and yet, you know, he was a fairly good swordsman and been a terrific warrior. But for all his slightness, for all his smallness, when he walked in a room, he had a booming voice, and he took the Spanish language and reduced it from this very sort of dusty, archaic, and very cumbersome way of talking and writing. He reduced it to this sort of fresh, muscular language. And when he spoke, everybody listened. When he walked into a room, everybody looked, because he was, even though he didn't dress up, he actually was known to wear jute sandals, and when he wasn't actually in battle, he was quite simple in dress. But there was a tremendous charisma about him. He loved to dance. He would walk into a ball, and if, you know, just the ladies were you thought he was absolute, you know, absolutely magical on the dance floor. And as a flirt, he was tremendously flirtatious as well. So he was in many ways a personality that was larger than life.
One of the aspects of the book that I found quite captivating was the fact that what made him so good in wartime was what troubled and challenged him so in peacetime, because he was so good when in adversity was so good, and yet, because he would set up all of these barricades against failure, but all of these things that he did so well in war would ultimately become a liability in times of peace.
Indeed, that is very, very true, Joe. He was masterful at making things up as he went along. I mean, Hannibal prepared for 2 years to go over the Alps. And San Martin down in Argentina prepared for 2 years to go over the Andes down there. But Bolivar just decided to do it and did it with no preparation. He was a master of improvisation. But that very quality of being able to improvise and being able to, you know, forgive your enemy and to promote someone who had just gone against you, because that's the right thing to do in a wartime delicate sort of immediate situation. In times of peace, when you're trying to build governments and you improvise as you go, it's not, it didn't work. It didn't work. Of course, he was also trying to work in a huge landmass. I mean, it was a landmass that's the size of modern Europe, seven times the size of what George Washington was working with at the time. So it was a huge landmass, and to keep all of these attendant parts paying attention was difficult. You know, you could ride in and prosecute a military campaign, but to keep all of those governments in order was impossible. And imagine a situation where you are a president of a country, and you are taking an army in to a neighboring country to liberate them from a colonial force, but you are a president of, you know, another country. He wasn't a borrowed general. He was a head of state. So this is a really unusual situation, and it was very hard to hold on to. And eventually, there were so many jealousies that his enemies forced him out everywhere, and he ended up, you know, poor and on his way to exile, and really disregarded and disrepute for all of his visionary ideas about unification.
In the introduction, when I was reading his many accomplishments, the one I ended with was talented writer. And I can only assume that helped you a great deal in tracing his life, because he was so able to articulate his ups and downs.
Oh, indeed. He was a marvelous writer. I call him one of the great Latin American writers, period. As I mentioned before, he changed the language but into something very fresh. But he's also, I mean, when you think about it, he's writing on the fly. He was dictating three or four secretaries at a time. And by the time they got one sentence down, he was doing another sentence over here. And he, even so, you read his letters, you read his speeches, you read his documentation, and it's extraordinary. It's extraordinarily vibrant and alive and wonderful to read, full of color. You think, you go back and you look at George Washington's writing, which is very stately and very sort of staid, shall we say. But Bolivar's writing was absolutely free, and he was giving opinions and, you know, telling stories and quoting from three languages and in the most sort of vivid way. He really was a wonderful writer.
So you had a lot to work with in that regard.
Indeed, I did. Yeah, I was lucky.
When it comes to the ultimate legacy of what you hope the lasting legacy of Bolivar to be in South America and even in North America through this book, what is that?
Well, it's so interesting because, you know, his legacy has been stolen again and again and again by people on the right, on the left. One of his generals used to say he had there was a magic of his prestige because everybody wanted to have that magic. He was just a force in the public that the public adored him. You know, it was the leaders and the other generals and the other heads of state that wanted to force him out, but the public loved him, and I think the legacy that he has left is this tremendous appeal for what is the best in us, really. I mean, that kind of vibrance, the sort of the daring, the intelligence, the intellectual capacity. I mean, he had all of those things that you know, Latin American people want to be. There are those who hated him, of course, too, because, you know, when he came into Peru and he took part of what was used to be the vice regal Peru and made it into Bolivia. Peru has always felt, well, you know, he stole part of our territory. Of course, it wasn't a territory to begin with. It was all colonial. It was a colonial entity. But there are people who despise him as well for the very fact that he was making, you know, unilateral decisions, defining whole areas and countries and borders. But his legacy has always been that strong, decisive, full of personality, somewhat reckless romantically, which has always been wonderful as far as Latin Americans are concerned, music lover. You know, he just captures a lot of what Latin Americans imagine themselves to be.
The name of the book is Bolivar, American Liberator. It is published by Simon & Schuster. Maria Rana, a great pleasure. Thank you so much for spending time and sharing your expertise with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. It's such a pleasure for me.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book is Bolivar. It is published by Simon & Schuster. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.